by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Upon the stage, every foul wicked spirit is the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, Zander Olivet, on The Ooze, spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now on to our show.
Hello, it's Orgasmic Chromatic and Female Satan for another Friday edition of The Ooze. Hello. Oh, man, this week has just been far, far long, and it's only going to get longer. I was actually told by my boss yesterday that she wanted me to come into work on Friday today, and she said that I can't, that I've worked too much in the past week or so, that they can't afford to pay me to come in that extra day. It's like, this is what we all live to hear our bosses say. You've worked too much. You can't work anymore. Yes. So that was...
That's when you know you definitely have overtime.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, They told me you're already in overtime and we can't pay you anymore. I was like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. That's awesome. But why can't I work? I want your money. But I'm glad I didn't work today. Things have been kind of stressful. Got some bad news about Courtney. They think she may have suffered a mild stroke.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, her temperature is up to 104.5, which everybody knows is not a good thing at all. But, you know, shit happens. I always say that, you know, my motto is shit happens. And if it wasn't, then I don't think I'd be able to tolerate anything around me. So... It's all good. How have things been in your neck of the woods?
Oh, mine? We've been dealing with really weird weather. I mean, we were, let's see, it was 98 on Saturday, and then the rain came in. And it's dumped us down to where, like, the highs have been in, like, 72 or 74. One day it was, like, 66. It's been rainy. It's been windy. It's been gross. And it's just, like, and... overnight change. Yeah, we went from like summer and like hot, you know, southern summer conditions to almost, really chilly, almost into what it is here at the beginning of winter. So, yeah. So everybody's got a head cold now because of the temperature change, which is always fun.
Oh, yeah, you know, it's been like that up here in Michigan too. And we didn't even get, like, pounding rain either. We got, like, sprinklage. And then the day before the rain, it was unbearably nasty. Not quite 98, but it was, like, 92-ish. And lately, at night, it's been dropping into, like, the lower 40s. Mm-hmm. I woke up for work one day and put on my winter coat to go to work because I was that cold and I'm that much of a wuss. But I hear the entropic here says, give me some of your rain. Like Texas and those states, they're just like not getting shit, like hot.
Oh, yeah, they're
nasty.
On fire. Texas is on fire from what I'm hearing. Yeah.
So, I mean, even though it's freaking hot where you live, when things randomly start on fire with no help. When that shit just goes up in smoke for no apparent reason other than the sun is acting like a giant magnifying glass, you know you live in a hot state, which is why I would never, ever, ever live in Texas or New Mexico or Arizona. Those states, I don't think so. You can keep them. I'm all right. Michigan's not that bad. But and Chaffee's saying it's about 33 miles away from them. Those 1,000 homes have been lost.
I was watching the news. It's bad there. Yeah, it's bad. I'm hoping that I was watching it, and they were saying that there's another tropical storm coming in, and that it might actually sort of hit near Texas. So I think they have rain coming soon. But yeah,
hopefully it comes sooner than later. Because
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't think Rick Perry needs to pray about this anymore. It's a really bad idea.
You know, speaking of Rick Perry, our title of the show today is called Some People's Kids. And I made this show, or I scheduled the show, because I find myself saying that very, very often. It's some people's kids. It's, yeah. Rick Perry, I would probably put under that category, and I've probably said numerous times in his thing is some people's kids, mainly because this dude is a psycho. It's actually kind of scary that he has people that rally behind him. Because when I watch him, I just think about getting dual citizenship up in Canada and leaving, going very, very far away. I think that the religious backing behind politics is one of the many, many, many big flaws that most politicians have. They think that instead of running rationally and going out there and fixing problems physically, they have to try to do it spiritually, and obviously that just doesn't work at all. So,
Oh yeah, and it's always been in our politics, and it seems to be getting worse, I think, too, especially in recent years. It's like, you know, I don't ever really care what religious preference a candidate is. That doesn't affect my vote one way or another. It never has. But there's been a lot of emphasis over this, especially, the Bush administration kind of started that trend, and it's just kind of spiraled out of control at this point.
Well, anybody who knows me knows that I'm not against prayer, and I think that, you know, especially with one of the Fallen's last shows, I did say, you know, it's got many benefits, but I am also extremely supportive of the separation of church and state. And I believe that when things that are going and hitting the fan, like shit's hitting the fan in the United States, you're really going to do something as mythological as let's get everyone together and hold a big giant prayer circle so that God can take care of this situation. God didn't start the situation to begin with. All right, people did. God's certainly not going to come in and sweep everyone up in his arms and forgive America for their trespasses, and all of a sudden everything's going to be okay. So to me, I can understand the backing behind it. Let's give the people hope, but it's not giving everybody hope, and he's not being all-inclusive either. the number one thing that everybody knows about Rick Perry. There's two things, is that he's extremely religious and he has executed so many fucking people that it's sickening. So it would not surprise me if there is a God out there, he's looking down and going, "You're praying to me? Are you fucking serious? You're making my job harder." And I just think that Rick Perry is a psycho. That's just my opinion. I think he is fucking crazy. He's jumped off the deep end. And,
yeah, I haven't been impressed with a single potential presidential candidate yet, actually. That's come up and started talking about it. I am unimpressed. I've been unimpressed for a few years, but this most recent batch, I'm fairly just disgusted in general. It's like, I don't want to vote for any of you, actually.
Yeah, that's the case too here. But, you know, I'm not too harsh on Ron Paul. I have to put that out there. As much as he's got some policies that I do not agree with, he seems out of the lot of them to actually have some kind of idea of what he's talking about. But I'm not, I tried looking through all these platforms and they just, my brain started melting. And normally, I love political science. I love this shit. But I cannot do it this year. And so I might not vote, which is unheard of for me because I vote. I'm an adamant voter. And I just don't see any real option out there.
I've voted in every election. I even voted in the small, like, you know, little county ones and all that. Yeah, I know. I'm actually considering not voting, or, I don't know, trying to find some obscure third-party candidate and voting for them. I mean, and the thing is, like, I know my vote doesn't really make a difference, but I still go out and do it. It's kind of a... to me, it's like a license to bitch, basically. And I like my license to bitch because I voted, so now I can tell you how I feel about things.
Don't blame me. I didn't vote for him.
Yep.
Well, I don't know, because I'm almost willing to give up that license. I would bitch anyways. I really don't give a shit what other people have to say. Well, you didn't vote, so... you have no say. Well, actually, no, I'm in America, and I can say whatever the fuck I want to. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, no.
And that's the thing with, like, Governor Schneider of Michigan, for example. He just put through his second biggest bill through Michigan, which is the welfare bill. You have a four-year cap, lifetime, which I was happy about. I'm not going to lie. I'm extremely happy about it. I think that it's a step in the right direction. And now if they could just drug test them, you know, I was reading a comment somewhere that said that one of the states that had made it so you had to be drug tested. They said that 98% tested clean. Well, if that is the case, then I don't see why everybody is throwing a big fit here in Michigan about that being an issue. Because if you're going to drop clean, you're going to drop clean. You've got nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm. Well, no.
So that's just a...
It's not that difficult to pass a drug test, even if you've been, you know, doing drugs, you know. I mean, there's, you know, you can Google that and find out, you know, how to get out of that real quick. So, yeah, no, it's not a, it's one of the things that I always find kind of laughable about it. It's like, anybody with their salt is still going to pass your drug test, even if they do drugs. They're going to, you know, they're going to clean their system out real quick, you know, it's a guarantee. You know, so there's always a way around something that, you know, ironically enough, that's, you know, and actually, in a way, those things can be expensive. So then on the same hand, it almost seems like, well, you're kind of taking the money to get the cleaning kit away from the kids, you know, which was, do you see what I'm saying? Because they're going to have to buy that because, 98%, yeah, that sounds right. I don't think that 98% were drug-free. I think that, you know, enough of them had a brain in their head to go, you know, be prepared for the test that was coming up.
Oh, yeah. I was we had this place called Mystic Mill. It's a head shop in East Town. And it's a really cool little shop, and I enjoyed being in there until one of their employees fell down in a fit of seizures, which I'm beginning to think that maybe I'm just bad luck and I shouldn't go anywhere. But, you know, that's besides the point. I overheard a guy talking to another person, and he's like, be clean for 72 hours, drink this, piss a few times, and I guarantee you, you will drop clean.
Mm-hmm.
There is always a way around the system. Always.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't
matter
what it is, there's always a way around it, which can be annoying. Okay, it can also defeat the purpose of a lot of different things. But at the same time, when you're that person that needs to get around the system, it's always comforting to know that there's something there. I fortunately have never had to deal with that because I just don't get caught.
Oh, well, you know, it's also a matter of, you know, I mean, we've talked about that before, you know, it's a matter of, you know, are you just, you know, if you're doing it occasionally, it's different than if you're doing it all the time, you know, and I've already sort of expressed point of view on the whole drug thing, which is that I just think they should decriminalize them, you know, and let, you know, somebody's going to literally die of a drug overdose, you know, they're probably too stupid to have around anyways, which sounds awful, but is, you know, more true than not. It doesn't control anything. It's like you said, there's always a way around the system. So you wind up just spending money to stop people from doing something that they're going to do anyways, no matter what, law is passed.
Yep. I mean, if you made it legal, you know, that's separate income for the state, too, which some people are against, but I think is a very, very viable arena for the state to earn money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my opinion.
Well, I mean, the possibility does hold that really caught on, that actually less people bother with going that route. I mean, it could theoretically actually get people to stop using that system just because it's, you know, the pain in the ass level associated with, you know, doing that whole thing to begin with is high. You have that, it might be too high for certain people to just, you know, continue to even use those programs.
Yeah, but that's kind of like cigarettes, you know. I mean, you go high and high and high, and smokers are in the smoke. So.
Mm-hmm.
So recently, you know, the school started up, and I'm one of those people that swing between a pessimist and a realist. Really what I mean by that is I'm a pessimist, but I claim to be a realist. Which, I mean, we all know that those people, they're actually defeatists, but I'm not a defeatist. I am. I've been fairly negative the past couple of weeks. I should probably stop doing that. But, you know, I'm going to bring up something that I saw coming when this person first started. Everyone knows about the big meltdown that Crystal had at Sim again.
Yeah, I still don't know exactly what is going on there. I just keep catching, like, screenshots and random blogs, and I missed all the drama. I'm still not sure why she had a meltdown or, you know, what exactly is going on there.
Well, the story that I got was that she was going to come down to California to see Zach. Okay, whatever, cool. Zach said that, you know, if you're going to share a bed with me, I don't know if this is a joke or not, but if you're going to share a bed with me, I better be getting laid.
That sounds right.
Apparently, this makes Zach a sexist prick, and she started freaking out all over the place. And I've been watching this woman's antics. I'm so glad that I did not actually refriend her on Facebook, so she tried a couple different times. She should know better. I didn't stop not liking her. But she's had a meltdown. And to me, I'm sitting here watching these, like, screen caps go up and people commenting. And the only thing I can think of is, God, this is boring. And it may be me just exhibiting in old age. Maybe I do not have a sense of humor. I've actually been accused of not having a sense of humor, and there are some times where I'm liable to believe it.
Uh-huh.
But I don't find this funny at all. It's a little bit annoying to me. And I'm just sitting there, and how does a woman of her age get to a point where she is so emotionally involved, all right, that she just completely mentally and emotionally fucking breaks down?
Well, yeah, I mean,
that,
I hate to use a cliche, but it's just the internet. And if you don't want me around, I'll just go where people do want me. It's never that, you know, I'm not going to, like, you know, freak out and threaten to hack your network or anything. I'll just go, you know. I'm not going to act like that, you know. Like, I saw that she was, like, declaring war and all that, and I was just kind of like, it didn't really strike me as boring. It did strike me as comical. But to me, what I found funny was that, like, pretty much even her friends on Facebook weren't taking any of what she was saying seriously at all. Like, there are comments, like, you know, there's question marks, and, but yeah, like, some new posted something like,
yeah, it was
their
like they had no
so
idea.
They'll act like that. Yeah.
Like they had no idea what the hell she was talking about. And then, you know, me, of course, I've been working so much that I get online and I get on Sin and I look at it and I'm like, what in the hell is going on with this shit show, you know? I'm amused. I don't find it funny, but I think that's because my comedy block with Crystal left when I deleted her 5 times in one night. And that's when I went, you know what? You were just an annoying... This is an annoying, miserable person. And that is something I wanted to touch base with on here, okay? Annoying, miserable people tend to immediately put me in a bad mood. I could be happy, and I walk down the street, and someone will be having this just ugly, disgusting, I hate everyone fucking face. And I have that face, too, all right? And immediately my mood just goes, why? Why?
Yeah.
And it just morphs my mood for the entire day. It drives me crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now, for me personally, the whole thing going on with Crystal, I'm highly amused, and mainly because I made up with her in June. And, like, I mean, like, we're okay. We've been okay, you know, and there was so much, she threw around so much shit on the internet about me that I was, you know, this, that, and the other. And there is a small part of me that feels like really, really, really vindicated because I got a lot of PMs from people telling me that I shouldn't have acted like I did, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, when me and her had our, you know, big, huge blowout. So I find it kind of funny because, yeah, there is this very small part of me that feels very smug and very vindicated right now. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, you're just a small, petty person. You know, this shouldn't make
yeah,
me feel
and that, I think, yeah, that is something that is very, I mean, I feel bad in a way because I seriously think that people like that need to get some severe psychological help. They need it. They need that psychological help because they form unhealthy bonds to non-physical objects, and they freak out over everything. And I've been there. I have. It takes a long time for a person that was not born with thick skin to develop thick skin. It takes a while. But for, you know, I don't know. I don't know where I was
going.
I
do feel bad for her in the sense that, like, you know, it's glaringly obvious that this is a psychologically unhealthy thing and that she needs help, you know. And in a way, I almost feel bad because, like, you know, Satanists are mean. They always have been, you know. She has not been able, she's proven that she can't take that kind of treatment. And, yeah, like in that sense, I do feel bad because I feel like, I don't know, how do I put this right? I feel like she's been hurt pretty badly. That's obvious. And then if she had never signed up, it never would have happened to her, you know. I mean, like, not that she would have lost it anyways, but, you know, she was dealing with a certain breed, which is obvious when you read the homepage of the site. You know, it doesn't say this is going to be nice, happy playtime. You know,
we're not the rainbow sunshine brigade.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you're warned. You know, stratification is in full effect. Back your shit up. It's all up there. So yeah, you should know that you're signing into a place where, and even if you just start looking around, it's quite obvious. If you post something retarded, somebody's going to call you retarded. You know, and that every single person that's been on there a while has been dragged over the coals 1,000 times, and it'll happen 1,000 times more. You know, you either get a thick skin or, you know, you leave, basically. And, you know, I do feel bad in that sense because I think that she developed a severe personal attachment of some kind to a website that really she was a little too vulnerable to be at to begin with.
Yeah, you know, I'm really confused. I'm not confused about what happened on Sen. I'm really, I just like being confused. I don't like knowing things. I'm one of those really annoying people that if you start a sentence and you just decide not to finish it, that will bug me all day. It will bug me all day because I feel like if you started something, you should finish it. And, you know, I don't care if you don't think it's important. It's important to me. I just need to know. I don't care if you're telling me you had a poster strudel for your birthday. I just need to know this information. So I don't like being confused. And I'm super confused about what she meant by I infiltrated you. Like, the grand illusion that one can infiltrate a non-physical arena confuses me, but I guess that's why they call it an illusion. You don't necessarily...
What are you infiltrating? It's a public website. And on a side note, as for what Zach said to her, I don't even think that's that bad or extreme or something to get upset about, you know? I don't know. Like, if I said, well, I'm coming to San Diego, Zach. And then he said, well, if you stay with me and you're sleeping in my bed, we're going to have sex. It's like, yeah, I'm getting a room at the Hampton. You know, that's how you deal with that. You know, that's the thing to me is the why she's so upset. I was like, that's it? That's what he said. Well, I expect that, you know.
Right. Well, and another thing that kind of drives me crazy about a situation like that is you physically put yourself out there like you did, like, you know, like she did, for example, and you expect people to see you in a different light. And, you know, while I do see the pros about being female and having that freedom and doing whatever you want with your body, because it's your body, you still need to keep in mind the fact that there are consequences to those actions. Another thing is, pretty sure, I would hope that Zach wouldn't actually force himself upon her. So really, for her to go off the deep end about something that was probably a joke to begin with, all right, and even if it wasn't a joke, there was no, like, viable reason for her to freak out over something that wouldn't have happened if she didn't want it to happen. Because as far as, I never physically met Zach, but as far as I can tell, Zach is not a fucking rapist. All right, and no one says you have to, when you go visit somebody, you don't have to stay at their house. Stay in a fucking hotel. Take proper precautions if you've met this person, if you don't know what that person is capable of. And if you're that worried about it, if you're looking for something to be worried about, then maybe you should wait and just not go.
Well, exactly. You know? Yeah. Well, and not only that, I don't see Zach viciously forcing himself on somebody. He just doesn't seem like that kind of guy. I don't know. That's why I'm a little like, and I mean, I've done when I didn't certainly do it as long as she is, but I have flashed in Honey Chat before. I'll admit that, but there were consequences to it, to be really frank and honest about it. I went, it skewed how people thought of me, extremely, actually, and at the end of the day, I wouldn't do it again, quite frankly, I wouldn't, and it was like I was drunk and I wasn't thinking, and I wouldn't do it again, just mainly because of the amount of shit I got, which is that, if something happens and I start getting into it with somebody, that will get brought up more often than not to dismiss me as a slut, which I find quite shocking.
Exactly.
It's like, I did it like once for 10 seconds and this is going to follow me around for the rest of my life. Wow. That's
And people, a lot of people, they don't think of the consequences. I think that there's your balanced person who thinks of the pros and cons. There's a person who constantly, focuses on the cons, and then there's people that constantly focus on pros. You got your optimist, your defeatist, your realist, whatever the case may be. We think that, however surprising it is, because of the fact that people's judgments are set, even if they don't think that they are, they are. Your judgments are set, and it takes a while to revert those judgments. Even I am guilty of looking at someone who puts themselves out like that and going, really? I got a copy of the video, the infamous video. Wow. Finn wasn't even a year old and we had an infamous video already. That's kind of cool. And I couldn't get through it because the only thing I could think of was, my God, you are just a crazy little whore. And while that may be true for her, that doesn't mean that everybody that gets caught up in that or does stuff like that means that it's the case. But it's not easy for me not to think that way, at least on some lower level mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and that's something that, when I did it, I certainly didn't think about that. That wasn't, it was, how do I put this right? It was just sort of spur of the moment. And then when it was over, I was kind of like, oh, well, crap, And then every time it gets thrown up in my face, I'm like, oh, man, come on, just let that go, please, I've
they never let it die.
Well, and that that's the thing is that I actually personally, and it was mainly, I had a combination of things happen, which one of the things happened was that I actually acquired a very, very scary internet stalker, And I wound up taking down all of my pictures and doing all of that. A large part of it was the stalker, but the other part of it was, yeah, I don't want to be viewed like this anymore, you know. And I did it to myself, and I think I can fix it, you know, if I take the right steps here. And you know, I think I have actually pulled that off, but it was incredibly difficult to do too. And isn't, you know, yeah, I certainly wouldn't recommend it for, you know, anybody else. It'd be like, don't do that. That's a mistake. You know, you will regret it later.
So, you know, there are some people who don't. And a lot of people ride on the wings of popularity because of that. And they get things because of that. I personally tried to go out of my way not to be that kind of person. I don't want any accolades because I've decided that I'm going to show the entire world my fucking breasts. I don't really want to do that. I don't really like my boobs to begin with. So, you know, I don't want to receive praise or negative comments from people because of any kind of physicality that I may or may not have. And it's, to me, I think that a lot of the girls that do it, they do that for that. And I'm not just talking on sin. I'm talking in, everyday life.
Yeah. And it does breed a kind of attention, and, you know, if you want that kind of attention, it's a good thing, you know, but if you don't, then you have to, and like, I mean, you know, or if you're an incredibly pretty girl, but you're also an incredibly smart girl, so, you know, I think you would rather be known for your brains than your beauty, I think is, you know, your main thing, and it's become mine too, you know, when before I really didn't care. And, you know, at the end of the day, I don't really judge. I mean, like, I don't really care when girls do that. It really doesn't bother me one way or another. In fact, I find it kind of funny because when you watch the men's reactions, it's like you could be solving the hard problem in chat, and if a girl takes her top off, it's over, you know. Like, I've had that happen. I'm like, well, this was an intellectual conversation 5 seconds ago. You know, it's like, oh, wow, yeah, you know, and I will say that, like, I've noticed that, yeah, it is funny to watch guys kind of become drooling retards for 3 seconds when girls do that. I do find that incredibly funny, you know.
See, and I usually just click out of the chat room or don't pay attention to it. I haven't been in the chat very often lately anyways, but I have to point out, like, for example, Venus did her little pole dance routine on Webcam. That bugs the piss out of me. That irritated me because of the fact that she was doing it all for attention. And she has no respect for herself. I think there's a difference between a person that can go out and flash a whole bunch of people and has some kind of form of self-respect than somebody who's just going to do it because whatever, they don't care. And it's important to me that people that I surround myself with have a sense of self-respect. If you don't have that, then you won't have enough decency to respect me as well. And I can't have that around me, and I can't have that around my kids, and I just would prefer not have to deal with it. And so I think that's where my prejudgment of people who do that comes from, because I've known a lot of people that do stuff like that, and it's because they don't have self-respect. It's not for entertainment purposes. It's simply, they just don't love themselves, you know?
Yeah.
So it's definitely hard for me to get over those prejudices. And I find it very hard to become friends with people like that.
Yeah, and, you know, it is really dependent on the why, because, I mean, there's, you know, people do lots of things for, you know, lots of reasons. And, you know, it's very easy to assume when a girl does that she's just an attention whore. And sometimes you find out they're just comfortable or something like that. But it's actually more rare for a woman to just be doing that because she wants to than a woman doing it because she has to or, you know, feel some kind of pressure or just wants everybody's attention in the room. It's, you know, it's simply dependent upon, you know, and it really is a case-by-case thing because, you know, every single woman is different, you know. And I don't go into that much more myself, but, and I will say that, you know, like, Betty Doom has quite a little crowd of followers, and she keeps all her clothes on, so, you know, it's not necessary to do at all.
Right. Well, and so how I felt about SG's, her cam shows, you know, it was a toss-up for me with SG because a lot of times when SG did it, it didn't bother me, oddly enough, and I think that's because she really, truly did it out of don't give a fuck, kind of, you know, she was, it didn't seem to me that she was trying to gain anybody's real, like, attention other than, you know, you're hot or whatever. I think that while Purchase Not was a little bit much, but, you know, that's just my opinion. I never looked down on IG for anything she did because she just seemed very carefree in doing it. She didn't hesitate to do it. Whereas there are some girls in chat that do it and they hesitate because they don't really want to do it, but they do it anyways because they've got enough people behind them, supporting them to do it. And to me, that's where the line should be drawn, is if you need support to do it, you probably shouldn't be doing it. If you don't 100% feel like you want to do it, you probably shouldn't be doing it. And that goes for everything in your life. That's not just, like, you know, showing some boobs on cam. And so I think that's the real line there.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And it's, you know, you can tell the difference or, you know, there's, you know, and there's some girls who seem like they don't want to do it, but they're only doing it to please people. Now, that's actually when I get personally irritated is when some girl's like, well, I really don't want to. And then it's like 15 minutes of cajoling. Because I'm just like, oh, come on, either you do want to, just do it to begin with. Or they're actually pressuring you into doing that, and you're weak, you know. But, you know, like, you're going to fall under peer pressure like that. Because, you know, there's some girls that will, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it, but they need 15 minutes of cajoling. And I'm always thinking to myself, you know what, just, you know, if you don't want to do it, just leave chat. You know,
they're telling
themselves. Yeah, exactly.
Anytime anyone's ever asked me in chat, I'm just like, yeah, right, and ruin my perfect purity going on in here. I don't think so. So it's not really that hard. I think that a lot of people, they bend to other people's roles simply because they think that saying no or making a joke out of it is that much harder to do than what they don't want to do. And it's really not that hard. In fact, I've learned that once you start saying the word no, generally, it's the first word that comes out of your mouth. I say no a lot to a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Granted,
oh, yeah.
Parent, so, but.
Oh, there was one girl once telling me that she never wanted to do it, but she felt pressured to do it, so she just did it to please them. And I was like, just leave chat. It's this novel idea. Just hit the X on the corner of your screen over there. Problem solved.
Well, you know, and that bothers me a little bit, simply because of the fact that, as a Satanist, all right, isn't the option there to please yourself and that the only person you really have to please is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the attitude, the mind state of, I have to do this because it'll please them, or I'm going to do this because it'll please them, that is completely, you know, backwards thinking and back-trailing, I believe. So...
Well, and I do think that some of it's back to, you know, very ancient, you know, women compete with each other all the time, you know. A lot of it's subconscious now, but there's, you know, little competitions that occur, you know, that you can watch, you know. Like when women are all, you know, women spend a lot of time trying to prove, you know, who's better, who's prettier, who's smarter, who's this, who's that. And I think that that does play into it on some level, because I think that, and I have noticed that, like, you know, you can have, other women can like you, you know, but if most women like you, you're probably honestly not going to be being true to yourself, because you're going to be just, you know, towing the party line. But then by the inverse, if only men like you, yeah, you're not being true to yourself either, because you fall into just spending your time pleasing men in order to receive some kind of accolade, which really is, you know, one of the worst things that I think any woman of any, you know, philosophical persuasion can do, because it's disempowering, ultimately. And, it, you know, it can be a hard line at times, you know, to figure out, you know, what, you know, why you're doing it, or, you know, even, yeah, you know, I mean, there's, and I think that women have a natural inclination to please other people, too. I think it's a normal thing, you know, and I think that does have to do a little bit with the fact that, you know, our physical structure is just a little bit smaller, you know, so I think that, you know, there can be a level of, you know, almost hidden intimidation when you're in a room full of men.
True. That could definitely happen.
Mhm. Oh, well, yeah, exactly. That's why, you know, I think a lot of it's subconscious, you know, and quite honestly, I don't think that, you know, I'm yet to meet a man, you know, really anywhere in the world that's, you know, just some kind of like crazy, drooling, you know, insane Cro-Magnon man that, you know, is going to hit you over the head and, you know, violate you 10 ways from Sunday, you know, just because he wants to. Men aren't like that, and it is at least on, you know, I do feel that way. Like, you know, I think to myself, a lot of women in a way discredit men because they don't realize that men aren't really like that, you know. They don't want to have sex with you. Some of them might actually just like to have a conversation with you, you know. They're not like
right.
that. I think that, you know, there's this stereotype of, you know, basically it sounds like all men want to oppress all women and, you know, force them to have children while they're barefoot and, you know, all this stuff. And it's not true, you know.
I find that most of the men that I run across,
mm-hmm.
they have a girlfriend, but seven times out of ten, the biggest thing that they want is to be left alone. I know that Pop would be ecstatic just to chill, smoke his shit, fucking listen to music, and have nobody bitch at him for a while. And I'm essentially the same way. Let me do what I'm doing and leave me alone. But I mean, I've met men that fit the stereotype that would rather have you sitting at home raising their children while they drink a beer after they just got done working, maybe not working.
Yeah.
And whatever the case may be. Everybody can be a stereotype.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Everyone can be a stereotype.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that's, you know, that's the main thing. I think that relations between the two sexes, I think, have reached a very interesting point in history where I think that women are empowered enough now that they, you know, are pretty willing to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, and the power structure is starting to, you know, it's flipping back and forth now, and men and women are starting to find equal ground, but a lot of women are pissed off about the past, you know, and at the same time, I do find, you know, that this couple generations of men that have popped up, they're relatively solid, you know, like, they tend to be relatively respectful of women overall, you know. Not an overall. You know,
well,
but, and there are exceptions. But, yeah, no, most of them are relatively, you know, straight up. And I do like and appreciate that, you know.
Well, I think that it takes work because it doesn't matter what type of partner or what type of person you are. You have to find the right partner or the right company or the right whatever you're trying to go into before the equalness comes out or some sense of balance comes out. It's not necessarily, I don't think it will ever be completely equal, nor do I really want it to be because, quite honestly, I don't care that much. But I swear I'm not as apathetic as I sound. But, you know, for an example, for a relationship, for a marriage to work, that there has to be equality there. There has to be a certain level of respect or, you know, it's going to crumble apart. For a partnership in a company, the same thing has to happen or that company is going to crumble apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Personally, you know, the people that I work with are all women and there's even a general inequality between us.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't think that a true balance will ever be found.
Well, I think it depends. I really do.
Because I really feel like that didn't make any sense.
No, it did to me. And, you know, I do think that it's going to take a long time before, you know, a lot of the wounds get healed, so to speak. And I've expressed this before. I don't really think that men have ever purposefully oppressed women. I think that a lot of when you look at things historically, I don't think that women really knew that they were oppressed or that, you know, several generations down the line, we would all be going, oh, my God, I can't believe they did that to them. You know, I don't think it hit them because when you think about their culture and their worldview, another concept of womanhood was absolutely unfathomable, you know. And I think that we have more than one concept of womanhood coming down the pike today, which is ultimately a good thing because that is a change. But, you know, at the end of the day, I can't hate men. I like them. I always have. And even, you know, the sexist, piggish, you know, kind of ones, because, you know, I know a few, and I even like them in a way. You know, I don't know what it is. It's like, all right, you know, that's how you feel, okay, whatever, you know. And I don't know.
See, I blame, that is the straight person talking, Emil. I can honestly say that between the two, male and female, I have, I honestly could say that there are certain days that I hate them on both levels,
mm-hmm.
and both of them. But I think that's just because I'm one of those people, I have to be around my quote-unquote own kind,
mm-hmm.
because if I'm not, then I just look at people with disgust, and that's what people are to me. They're disgusting, and if you're not of my kind, then you're disgusting, and I don't want anything to do with you. And so you can imagine how hard it is to operate in the real world where you can't just separate people.
I have a lot of the same feelings, but I mean, overall, quite honestly, when it comes down to a preference of men or women, I do honestly get along with and prefer men over women. And I always have, even when I was a kid, I was a daddy's girl. It's always been that way. I've always preferred men, and I've always gotten along better with men than I do with women. Like, I was looking for a yearbook the other day, and there was a picture of me, and it said me and my crew, and it was me and
seven other guys all there. And I was like, and I started laughing because I'm like, there's not one other girl in this picture. This is my crew from high school, you know. Well, yeah.
I think mine was pretty much mixed. And I think that's because I went through this extreme, I'm just going to befriend everybody who everybody hates.
Mm-hmm.
But if I really think about it, I do have a lot of male friends, but I'm not sure that's a preference thing, at least not on my side. But I think that it's very common for strong women to befriend men more often than women, because women can be extremely trivial and annoying and whiny and bitchy. And that's just
and catty. And now the few women that I am friendly with, I mean, and the, you know, there's a handful. I mean, they're all like, you know, jewels or diamonds to me, and that, you know, I do crave female relationships, but it tends to just not work out for some reason, you know, Yeah. So when it does, I'm always really happy and excited, and I almost value a female friend over a male friend for that reason, because, you know, they're rare. Like, I've had the same best friend since I was 13, and her name's Morrissey. And I mean, I've fought to keep that friendship because it's, you know, one of the few women I've ever met in my life. But I mean, we were kids when we met. But yeah, you know, I mean, I fight to keep that friendship because it's one of the few women that I've ever found that, you know, is there for me. And she actually allows me to be a very terrible friend and then makes me be a good friend, because, like, I'm bad about that stuff. Like, she'll call and I'll just let it go to voicemail. And I'll do that like 5-6 days in a row. And then, like, she'll just pull my phone up until I answer the phone. And she's like, you have to answer the phone when I call. That's being a friend. You have to do that. And I'm always like, I'm sorry, I was busy. And then she's like, then you call me back. Like, yeah, she does this all the time. She'll be like, if I send you an email, you have to respond to it. You don't just read it and that's it. I was like, but I read what you said. I had no, well, she's like, well, did you have an opinion on it? I was like, what am I supposed to say? You know, your son walked, big deal. She's like, right back, big deal. You know, like, just do something.
Yeah, I have a friend of that. I have a friend of that caliber, too. I've been friends with her since I was 14. I met her in my Spanish high school class. And ups and downs through every little thing that I've ever been through, through my kids, through her marriage, through everything, they are genuinely, like, she is family. That is my sister. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, if she needed me, I would be there, you know. And it seems to me that, you know, my relationships with women, the ones that stick like family.
Yep.
So.
Oh, no. I would definitely agree. Yeah, because I feel the same way. I mean, she was in Canada, and she actually drove when I left my ex-boyfriend, and he beat me up really bad. He went to jail. It was like a crazy redneck, Jerry Springer-style mess. She was the one, and she drove down from Canada to drive me approximately 200 miles from where I was living to my dad's house. You know, who does that for somebody, you know? So I was like, I just want to get out of here, and she was like, I'll be there. And yeah, And that's basically all she did, was pick me up and drop me off and then drive all the way back home, you know?
Yeah,
and that's that, you know? And when that happened, I was like, yeah, I'm going to have to, you know, when she calls and something bad happens, I'm going to have to drop my life and run to help her, you know? She's pretty much guaranteed that I'll have to pay that forward someday, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we have reached the end of our show limit. So I don't know if we accurately covered the topic or not, but it was a good conversation anyway. So it worked.
Yeah.
It always works out that way. We make a lot of topic, but we talk about something. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and run the outro. And thanks for everyone who showed up. And sorry that Pop couldn't get Skype to work. And I'll see y'all at soon.
See y'all at soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but this is the old expression goes. Tough luck. Special thanks to Zadaraki Daroma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?